We're going to have our first Bible reading. Aidan is going to come on up. While he's coming up, why don't you grab one of the Luke's Gospels that is on the seats around you? And we're going to head to Luke chapter 2. Page 6. Here's Aidan. Tell us the reference again. You say it again.
Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests."
Thank you very much. Okay, I think Livy's going to come up and do our second Bible reading. If you want to come up, Livy, I'll stay here and I'll hold the mic for you as she comes. Right, come on over.
Luke chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child.
Now, we're not always very good at judging how precious a Christmas gift is. Maybe you think of the little toddler getting that brand new present from Granny, and they open it up, toss the present to one side, and they play with the box or the wrapping paper. Or maybe the mum or dad who opens up a wooden model and they look at it and say, "Well, thank you, dear." They didn't realise it was handmade by their son. It took him 8 weeks in his woodwork project. See, sometimes we're holding something valuable, but we don't realise just how precious it is. So I'm going to put you all to the test. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to show you two gifts, and you need to tell me which one of these you think is the most expensive. Okay, so here we go. First round, we've got on the left there the Lego Transformer. And on the right there, a bit of a weird and wonderful electric toothbrush. So show me a wave. Lego Transformer, the more expensive gift. Electric toothbrush. Or about a split, okay. The Lego Transformer, I have to say, well done. That's £80. £80. But not too quick, because the electric toothbrush is marketing at £986. There's currently zero reviews on Amazon. People are deciding it's cheaper just to buy new teeth, actually. Here we go. How about round two? We've got the Eloise doll. Oh, I need to get this right now. We've got the Monster Rotary XL Electric Blaster. Okay, give me the doll. Give me a wave for the doll. A few people, give me a wave for the blaster. Okay, well, the blaster, coming in at £40. The Eloise doll is only five in the world, £5 million. So if you open that one up, don't toss it away. But value is not always about price, is it? It's not always about price. Sometimes we're holding something precious, but we don't realise it. Catherine didn't realise it. See, Catherine on Christmas, she was given by her boyfriend a present, and she opened it up, and you won't believe what it was. It's a pair of socks. So ordinary. Socks are always there at Christmas, aren't they? A bit of background noise, but they're not the main event. But she was holding something precious. She didn't realise it. It was within her grasp. And then he said, "Look inside." And she opened them up, and inside was the engagement ring. Smooth operator. Something of immense value in her grasp, but she didn't realise it. Well, every year as Christmas rolls around and the Christmas story is in our ears, Everyone around the world is within touching distance of something of immense value. God puts in our hands something of real preciousness. But do we realise it? The story about Jesus is so often just the background noise, isn't it? But really, it's the main event. Something amazing, something life-giving, life-changing, of unspeakable value. So what we're going to think about now is three things that almost everyone in Cardiff will miss this Christmas. See, all around Cardiff, all around our world, maybe even some here in this room, another Christmas will come and go. Something precious will be in your hand, but perhaps you don't realise it. So here's three things that almost everyone will miss. Firstly, that the message of Jesus is great news. It's great news. Have a look down at verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you..." Fake news? No. Irrelevant news? No. Boring, outdated, bad news? No. Good news of great joy for all the people. See, the angel's in no doubt about his news. Great news. See, Christmas is great news. Not just great fun, although it is that. Not just a great story, though it is that too. There's lots of great stories. Toy Story, Star Wars, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Great stories. But that's not the same as great news. See, news is a different category altogether. News is something that actually happened. Events that are true. News like 1945, the end of the Second World War. Great news. Or 1958, perhaps you don't know this. Great news. What happened in 1958? World-changing news. The first chocolate advent calendar. Great news. But good news is so often good news for other people, isn't it? Good news for them, but not for me. Like Liverpool being 5 points clear. Or that other school who have an extra week of Christmas holiday. Or that friend who got a Christmas bonus. Well, great for them. But who is this news for? Verse 10. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Great news for everybody. Great news for the young and for the old. Great news, whatever our background, wherever we're from. Great news if we grew up going to church or today's our first time in one. Whether we're rich or poor, black or white, male or female, whether we're proud of our life or deeply ashamed, whether we're someone who loves tinsel or whether we're mistaken. See, Christmas is great news for everybody, which means Christmas is great news for you. Not just the person that you're sat next to or the friend who invited you or some other person in your family, but for you. In fact, here's the challenge, that if we can't say, sitting here this afternoon, that the message of Jesus at Christmas is great news for me personally, then we can be certain we haven't yet understood it. Because Christmas is great news for everybody. And if we can't say that Christmas is great news for that awkward neighbour, or that tricky colleague, or all of our friends, or even those people in our family, whatever they're like, whatever they've done, whoever they are, if we can't say that Christmas is great news for everybody, well, then we haven't really fully understood it either. We've just been singing, "Welcome, all the bells on earth are pealing." Children, can you remember what we did when we said, "All people," to the shepherds? We did some pointing. Should we do that on three? One, two, three. All people. Christmas is great news for everybody. But why? Why is it? How can it be for everyone? And what even is the news? Well, here's the second thing most people will miss this Christmas. Christmas is about a great saviour. See, what was the news? Look down at verse 10. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born." We were singing, "Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, a saviour who is Christ the Lord." See, children, what did we do when we said great saviour? We did a cradle. Should we do that on three? One, two, three. Great saviour. Now, Christmas is a great time for giving gifts that people need, isn't it? The new slippers for Grandpa, because the old ones are falling apart. The new clothes for the children, because the old ones don't fit. A hamper for that friend, because the last few months have been so difficult. What does this person need, we might ask? Question: what does God think we need? Answer: a saviour. And we'll only be able to say that Christmas is great news for me when we first learn to say, "I am someone who needs saving." But what kind of saving? Well, just look at the page, chapter 1, and have a look at verse 77, where we read that he will give his people the knowledge of salvation. There's that word. What is it? Through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. Forgiveness, mercy. That's the kind of saviour that came at Christmas. See, the saving we most need is saving from our sins and their consequences. Sin, that little word with I, right in the middle. Because even at Christmas, we're aware of our sin, aren't we? Perhaps especially at Christmas. The short temper, the harsh words, the ingratitude, the greed, the envy, the lack of self-control. Even at Christmas, maybe especially at Christmas, we know it's so easy to ignore those God calls us to love or to honour, and dishonour those that God calls us to honour. And that's just how we relate to other people. What about to God himself? Just imagine it, living in God's world, breathing God's air, but ignoring God, disobeying him, dishonouring him. Sin, that little word with I in the middle. And at that first Christmas, God gives us what we most need. Condemnation? No. Forgiveness. Judgment? No. Mercy. A great saviour. Some things are too good to be true. It was too good to be true for Gareth Hughes. Gareth Hughes from North Yorkshire. He received a cheque in the post from the power company. It was a compensation cheque. There had been a storm outage. When Gareth opened the envelope, his eyes came out on stalks. He was being compensated £2 trillion. Trillion with a T. But sadly, it really was too good to be true for Gareth Hughes. It was a mistake. They'd printed his serial number in the wrong box. Maybe we hear those words forgiveness, mercy, salvation, and we think it's too good to be true. Our mind immediately goes to that thing we shouldn't have done or those words we shouldn't have said. Forgiveness for someone else, maybe, but not for me. But Christmas really can be great news for me and for you, because Jesus came to be a great saviour even for me. And even for you. Great news. Great saviour. And here's the last thing many will miss. A great king. A great king. Look down at verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Children, what did we do when we said, "He is Lord"? We said, 3, 2, 1... He is Lord, because Christmas is the story of a great king. We just sang, "Come and share the jubilation. There's a new king born today." See, we mustn't settle for half a Jesus. The great news is that he is a great saviour and a great king. Don't settle for half. Half a bike isn't good news on Christmas Day. Half a ticket won't get you in to see Coldplay in the O2 Arena. And if your family's getting a puppy this Christmas, that's wonderful, so long as it isn't half a puppy. See, half a gift is never good news, and neither is half a Jesus. See, the half Jesus, who is king but not saviour, that's not good news. That's a Jesus we can't live up to. That's a Jesus who came to frown at us, but not to forgive us, to rule, but not to rescue. That's not the real Jesus, who is both king and saviour. But neither's the half Jesus who is saviour, but not king. That's Jesus the insurance policy. That's Jesus the genie, to be whipped out when we need him and then to be tucked back away when we don't. That's not the real Jesus either. He didn't just come just to rescue, but to rule as well, and to reign, and to command, and to make demands. He did not come just to forgive us, but to change us. He didn't come just to free us to sin, but to free us from sin. Maybe you've had the disappointment of opening up a present on Christmas morning, only to discover batteries not included. Oh, nightmare. We mustn't settle for a Jesus without the batteries in. A half Jesus. Maybe we look at our lives, our family, our community, our town, our nation, our world, and we think, look at this mess. Who can put this right? Well, only the King and the Saviour. He will put it right. He is putting it right, but it's a Jesus with the batteries in. Christ, by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. We sang this morning, joy to the world, the Saviour reigns. Let earth receive her King. So can I invite us afresh this Christmas to come to Jesus Christ, to turn to him as our King, to trust in him as our Saviour, to kneel in worship like the wise men. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail, the Son of Righteousness. See, what happened when someone said to Catherine, Catherine, there's something precious in here. You better look inside. Well, she looked, and she was overjoyed that she did. Perhaps this is all very new to us. We can invite you to come and look. Come and look, have a look. See what you find. Perhaps take away this gospel. Maybe read it over Christmas. Joe mentioned the Christianity Explored course in the new year. Maybe come and join one of the midweek groups if we're one of the younger ones here. We'd love to give away some books as you leave down in the foyer. It's one particularly for the children. You might enjoy this. Please take one. It's a free gift. We'd love to encourage you to come and look. Let me pray as we finish. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the news of Christmas. We pray, Lord, for each one here this year that you would show us more and more what it is for the Lord Jesus to be the Saviour and the King. And we pray it in his name. Amen.